Good morning, everyone. Now, today is the first day of spring, being the 1st of March. And it seems appropriate that we're looking at a story about seeds and growing, the parable of the sower, as has already been said. Thank you to Claire for doing the reading and for those who helped bring that passage alive. Now, there are some worksheets for the children, probably of school age. All the answers will be in today's talk, and if you bring your completed or near-completed sheet to me at the end, there will be a fun-sized chocolate reward. I should tell you that it's been road-tested by Ollie, who has successfully completed the word search, but he is going to have to pay attention because he didn't know all the answers to the questions. But they will hopefully all come up this morning. Now, as some of you know, I'm heading towards retirement. Children, if you don't know what retirement is, it's that time in your life when you no longer go to work. I do say heading because I'm not really planning my retirement. There are people here who know far more about retirement than I do. I plan to take it one step at a time, at least at first. One thing I am planning to do in my retirement, though, is to do some more walking. And I told this to my cousin recently, who's been retired for some time. He said that he and his wife like to go on walking holidays. Think the Pennine Way or the long-distance coastal paths or whatever. I was thinking more of walking to the coffee shop in town. He went on to say that he just completed his 200th park run, which was quite impressive. We were on completely different planets when it came to what we meant by walking. And the reason I tell you this is that the gulf can be evident in the way that people approach their Christian faith. How seriously do you take your Christian faith? Our passage today, as Nicola has already told us, shows that we should take it seriously. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that as we go on. Now, the last time I spoke at Argyle, we looked at the prodigal son. And the time before that, we looked at the Good Samaritan. So I think you can probably see the link between the three things that I've spoken about. They're all parables, or stories that Jesus has told. Now, the old definition of a parable is still a good one. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. We read the first three verses of the chapter to give us some context to the story. Jesus was going from place to place in Galilee. We know it was Galilee, because this story is also in Matthew's Gospel. But that's the one point that I'm going to take from Matthew's Gospel. From now on, we'll just focus on Luke's account. Jesus was proclaiming, as we read, the good news of the kingdom of God. What we might call today the gospel. But what is that? Well, there are several definitions and aspects to the gospel. And I'm going to use one of the best-known verses in the Bible to tell us what we mean by the gospel. I'm a bit like Nicola, actually. I can't remember very many scriptures either. But this is the one exception that I do remember. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I expect many of you know it too. And it's worth saying it out loud together, I think. So let's do that, shall we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The good news is that you can be right with God. You have to believe in Jesus, and there's a reward that will last forever. In verse 4 of the reading, we can see that a large crowd has come to see and hear Jesus. Jesus chose to speak to that crowd by telling this parable. A farmer was sowing seed. Now, this would have been a familiar picture to Jesus' listeners. They might have come from the towns, we do read that in verse 4, but they would still have been very familiar with the idea of a farmer sowing, presumably, his wheat seed. Now, for us, we may need a little bit more explanation. Don't think of a big modern tractor with a wide seed drill behind it. Think of a solitary man tossing out his seed by hand, a bit like we see in the picture. Now, I expect there was a technique to it by which the farmer could distribute his seed quickly and efficiently, but the story tells us that the seed went everywhere. And it falls on four types of soil. The path, rocky ground, thorny ground, and good soil. Well, the problem with the path was that the ground was walked on, so the soil was hard. So the seed that fell on that path just sat on top of the path, allowing the birds to come along and eat it up. The problem with the rocky ground was that there was only a thin layer of soil on rock. So there was little water for the seedlings to grow in. And so they didn't, and died. And the problem with the thorny ground was that perhaps the soil looked promising, but in that ground there were thorns growing. And over time those thorns would choke the crop, so the seed also died. It's only on the final ground where there is success, the good soil. It flourishes and produces not just a decent crop, but a huge crop. Now, more learned people than me have suggested that a crop of 5 to 10-fold would be normal. Here the crop is 100-fold. It's extraordinary. Well, let's stop there for a moment. If you had been in the crowd that day listening to Jesus, what would you have made of what you've heard so far? If his disciples didn't understand and have to ask Jesus about it, I'm pretty sure that most of us would be in the same boat. And we need to think a little bit about the purpose of parables. I said earlier that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And there's some truth in thinking that Jesus was using common images and stories to make his message more memorable. Parables can be Jesus explaining something complex in a simple way. But our passage says something quite surprising. It's on the screen. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, namely the disciples. But to others, I speak in parables. So what is Jesus doing? Well, remember that Jesus was talking to a large crowd. We don't know who was in the crowd, but we can guess at two groups of people to whom Jesus might have been reluctant to speak openly. Firstly, his direct opponents, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, people who one day will succeed in putting Jesus to death. But Jesus had not finished his earthly ministry yet. He was still teaching his disciples. It would be in his time that he goes to die, not in his opponent's time. And the second group is those who are not serious about Jesus and his message. Ultimately, they are Jesus' opponents too, although they may not know it yet. These are the very people that Jesus will later describe in his explanation to his disciples. And to shorten the second half of verse 10, to these people he speaks in parables, so that they may not see and may not understand. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah the prophet, who was not listened to in his day either. If, like the disciples, you want to know more about Jesus, then do what they did and ask him. Earnestly ask Jesus, and he will make the way clear for you. Now, we don't have to guess or interpret what this parable means, because Jesus tells us from verse 11 onwards. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. First point. Now, before we delve into that a little bit further, let's take a short break from the story and think for a moment about how the word of God and how it is spread today. We're going to do a short quiz. I'm going to put up an image on the screen, and I want you to think in what way the good news of Jesus can be spread today. You have to fill in the blanks to show how the word of God is spread. Don't shout out the answer, but put up your hand if you think you know. There are six images, so let's start. Image A. Blank R, blank blank CH, blank blank G, space, blank blank blank, space, blank blank SP, blank blank. Can anyone work out what that is? Give you a moment or two. Anyone work that one out? Any hands to go up? No guesses? Yes, Chris. Yes. Preaching the gospel is right, yes. So in case you didn't hear, Chris, preaching the gospel. Okay, you're getting the hang of this now. Okay. On we go. Blank E, blank, 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 NG, space, blank, blank, space, blank, blank, BLE. Yes. No, nearly. Sorry? Guessing? Yes, well done, whoever said that. Yes, very good. Reading the Bible. On to C. Blank, blank, C, blank, blank, L, space, blank, blank, D, blank, A, space, blank, 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 S-A-G, blank, blank. Yes? Yes. Well said. Social media messages. On to D. Blank, 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 O, space, blank, 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 G-R, blank, 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 S. I'm not going to ask Chris.
Oh, radio program.
Yes, well done, yes. Radio program. Image E. Blank, 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 ST, blank, blank, A, blank, I, blank, G, space, blank, F, space, S, blank, R, blank, 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 S. Happening today as we speak, we hope. The image should help if you've ever gone to our website. Yes. Yes, well done. Live streaming of services. And the final image. Blank, blank, G, blank, blank, R, space, blank, blank, V, blank, blank, T, blank, 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 G. This is a little bit more difficult, I think, because the image only helps so much. I thought you'd be jumping at doing this, but anyway. Poster advertising. Well, that was a pointless answer, wasn't it? Well done if you worked out those. That's good. So let's go back to our story, or think about a little bit about these way the gospel is spread. Now, there's an element of when the gospel is spread, it goes to a broad range of people. You can see that in those examples. Now, not all are going to respond to the gospel, but some will. Some go to a slightly more narrow range, perhaps, of people. You could argue that coming to church to hear someone preach, you have to come in through the building, that the service is open to all, but not so many do that. Someone might be given a Bible. They have to choose to read it. But radio broadcasting could be picked up by anyone. And it's not dissimilar, I think, to the message that Jesus is painting in the parable. The good news of Jesus can come to all. And our passage goes on to talk about the four key types of response based on those four types of soil. The first is the people who hear the word of God but immediately reject it, because it's like the seed falling on the hard path. It can't take root. Jesus says in verse 12, the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. There is a spiritual battle. As Christians, we regularly pray that people will believe in Jesus, and it's right that we do. But we should also be praying that the devil will be stopped from plucking that seed away. And please don't think that if you're not a Christian, that there's an argument here that it's not your fault, that you have not accepted the word of God. After all, the devil is stopping me. It's not my fault. The Bible is clear that it's also your responsibility to be right before God. The devil will be damned for his actions, but the Bible says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. Let's move on to the rocky ground in verse 13. The person hears the word of God and believes. Isn't that wonderful? That's all that matters, isn't it? Another person saved for eternity. Well, not entirely, no. Jesus says, yes, they believe and they're joyful, but when testing comes, they quickly fall away because they have no root. Testing can be all sorts of things. An illness, perhaps. Losing a loved one. Criticism from a friend. They have not rooted themselves in Jesus and they fall away. If you're a Christian, what can you do to stop yourself falling into this group? Well, being a Christian is not all about making a one-off commitment. It is that, but then following Jesus for the rest of your life. Putting Jesus first, reading the Bible, keeping in fellowship with other Christians are all things that we should be doing. If we don't, this is a stark warning to us. And likewise, the seed that fell amongst the thorns, verse 14. The people who are like this are similar to those who don't put down roots. Perhaps this is even more of a warning to you this morning, because you've committed your life to Jesus, you've been coming to church for a long time, and you do read your Bible. Jesus talks about three particular thorns, two out of which are probably more dangerous to us than they were to his original readers, listeners rather. The three thorns are life's worries, riches, and pleasures. Now, we all have worries of one sort or another, whether we're in the first century or the 21st century. The future, money worries, job worries, school worries, relationship problems. Becoming a Christian does not mean those problems go away. Nicola's already said that to us. Today. But how you deal with those problems is different. As a Christian, you face those problems with patience, goodness, and self-control. You pray to God for help. But if you only have a light grasp of the Christian life, you can be thrown off by such problems. The next thorn is riches. And today, of course, we have much more wealth than first century Galileans ever would. Now, there's nothing wrong with having ambition or wanting to have a career which can lead to wealth. But if you pursue that ambition at all costs, you risk losing your love for Jesus. Similarly, getting good results at school and trying to do well. It's good to work hard and to try to do well. And that should help you get better opportunities in the future. But making that your biggest goal is dangerous. I can't go to church today because I need to study is a dangerous approach, because you risk drifting away from your Christian faith. And the third danger that Jesus mentioned is pleasures. Today's culture seems to say, amongst other things, you live for experiences. It depends on your age and inclination as to what those experiences are. Some people like skiing. If you're young, it could be K-pop or anime. If you're old, it might be gardening or, as I say, skiing holidays. Now, these can all be good things to enjoy. Let's not forget that. But if we put that interest or experience above our walk with Jesus, we risk losing our love for Jesus. And the final type of soil is the good soil. Sometimes I think in our interpretation, we tend to go back to the actual parable here. And that incredible crop that's mentioned, 100-fold. And that, I think, can be a bit overwhelming, to be honest. A crop of 100 times, or me and my experience? I've already part quoted from Galatians 5:22. Let me read the whole verse to you. Again, it may be one that you know. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the attributes we as Christians should be growing in. And this ties in with the explanation of the parable that Jesus gives in verse 15. Christians should have noble and good hearts, who listen to the word and retain it. It talks about perseverance. No one said that the Christian life was easy, but there is an eternal reward. And this ties in with what Jamie spoke about 2 weeks ago. Faith without actions is dead, from James. I refer you back to James 2, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. The actions of a good, godly person see goodness multiplied many times over. Well, in conclusion, how do you react to this parable? We come back to the last recorded words that Jesus calls out to the crowd. Not the explanation, but he calls out to the crowd in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus is urging his listeners to hear the good news of the kingdom of God. Have you heard the good news about Jesus, and have you turned to him? The parable shows that it's not just about a one-off commitment, but you have to persevere. You do have to start following Jesus, and if you haven't, please consider this today. If you want to talk to someone, please speak to me or to Jamie, our pastor. We would love to speak to you. And if you have committed your life to Jesus, this parable is an encouragement to keep persevering and to keep close to the Word by reading your Bible or joining with other Christians at church or in small groups. And there's a great reward in doing so. Thank you.